Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
If I pull a guy to the side and I say something to him, I feel like it means a little bit more than a guy that's trying to be somebody different, call you out in front of everybody. I feel like that's where I've grown the most as a person, as a leader, for sure.
Before Noel's Twitter gets here, I just want to say we're a very pro Jordan Travis podcast here, so don't come for us. We have the man of the hour himself. How you feeling?
I feel great, man. Blessed to be here. Blessed to be here with my teammates too. Seeing them go out and ball out was, man, puts a smile on my face. I'm grateful to be here.
Nardo was very impassioned when we talked to him yesterday about what would have happened in the playoffs if the committee made the correct decision. I have to assume the rest of the building agreed with him.
100%. I'm not going to get into it.
I know.
We're not going to make it easy.
Go Noles.
Just go Noles.
Go Noles. Go Noles. Right.
Well, we're super happy to have you. We want to talk about things you did accomplish on the field because there are so many of them. One of the things I wanted to talk about is one of your throws to Keon Coleman. It's right before the half versus the LSU. And I need you to tell me a couple of things about this because you are so decisive on this play. You hit your third step. The ball's coming out. Keon's at the 10. He doesn't have leverage yet, but you are 100% sure he's going to catch this. And the reason I know that is because after he catches it, you jog to see him. You don't sprint. You don't jump out of your shoes. You just like, yep, I knew it. So tell me what you saw on this play, what the target was, and how sure you are that he's going to catch that. Because, again, he's at the 10. One of the very good DBs in the country still has leverage on him, and you throw that with ultimate confidence.
Yeah, it's like a cheat drop, and it's kind of like a quick three, mm-hmm. little shuffle there. I mean, wish I could get that little crossover a little bit more than that, but he had inside leverage or head up, so I just knew once, like, I wasn't backpedaling out of there right away that I was going to have Keon. So, I mean, when you have guys like that, once again, makes your job easy. So just put it up back shoulder, give him a chance, leave it up high and outside where only he can have a play on it, so... Is there?
Speaking of drops, one of the things that I love most about your game, and this is going to sound ultra nerdy for a lot of the people listening at home, you are so willing to let the pocket fold around you. I almost never see you go deeper than 9 yards. A lot of the times like this, you're at 8, and you just kind of let the edges collapse around you, and you just kind of sit in the chaos. You sit in that pocket. Everything's clean. Everything's perfect. First of all, how long did it take to drill that kind of discipline to stay that shallow in the pocket, almost like a Josh Allen, Tom Brady style, where it's like, we're going to sit here in the mess, and how long does it take for you to kind of get it that clean, that repetitive?
It took time, for sure. Coach Norvell and Coach Sokars, Coach Dillingham throughout my career really pushed me, and I mean, it's all props to them and all props to the offensive line. I mean, at the end of the day, early in my career, there was times where I was running out of the pocket early. I just had to have trust in my guys in front of me. Those guys work so hard, and I'm so grateful and thankful for them. It starts up front every single day and every single play, so they make my job easy once again. I play quarterback. Man, I'm nothing without my teammates and the guys around me, so I work really hard, but Coach Norvell and them really push me, and quarterbacks behind me push me every single day and motivate me to be better.
I bet your tackles like playing for you too, just because the landmark is so much easier for them to hit. Because if you're sitting at 11, I mean, they almost got no shot against a wide nine. If you're at 9, if you're at 9 yards deep, like you were, like, I know Keon gets all the accolades for this catch because it's Keon, of course. But I just love how you just kind of let the edges wash around you. And it just makes it so much easier to play tackle for a quarterback like that. How much communication did you have with your offensive line when it came to protections and you know, them kind of knowing where you were going to be?
Yeah. We always, I mean, and the gun, our biggest drop is a big three. Mm-hmm. Cheese step with a three after that. So, I mean, I'm getting to 9 yards, and that's about as deep as I'm going to get. There's some times this year where I wasn't consistent with that, and mm-hmm. I need to be more consistent. And Coach Arvell told me about it for sure. I hear about it. Just being more consistent with that. Me and the offensive line are very close. Those are my boys. I mean, they protect me like I'm their brother. So it's a blessing to have guys like that in front of you that go so hard every single day for you at the end of the day. That's what it is. For you and the running back to protect you and to give us the opportunity to distribute the ball to the receiver. So it's a blessing.
Another thing I want to ask about, because it's not just about mechanics and everything being clean. It's also about the ability to read the field. This is kind of a funky look, and we showed you this earlier because I wanted an explanation of how the hell you fit this ball in here on a middle seam against a kind of a funky inverted Tampa 2 look. They're showing pressure. They back out of it. If you could kind of walk me through what's the read here, where are your eyes going, and what convinced you to have the audacity to hit that kind of throw. I mean, this is one of the best throws I've seen from any quarterback in this class the entire year.
Yeah, man. Just Keon saw the middle of the field split, open up. Looks like they're playing cover two of some sort, cover two man maybe. That DB's back was turned to me, and I know he could not see the ball. I saw Keon's eyes, and we made eye contact, and I knew that the safety was closing in, so I tried to protect him a little bit and keep it low. You don't want to kill your receiver out there, so just try to keep it low, and I knew I could squeeze it in there, and man, I just had all the confidence in the world in my guy, and he caught it with one hand and then ended up between his legs and squeezed it between his calves if you saw the end of the play. So it's pretty crazy. I mean, but once again, Keon makes my job easy, man.
He does have a habit of making ridiculous catches.
Yes, sir. He does.
Speaking of making people's jobs easy, it's not always perfect in the NFL, and it wasn't always perfect for you at Florida State. One of the things that really stood out to me about your tape is – even when it's not perfect and you have what I would call quick footwork, right? When you got those little layups and setting up a screen and they're letting guys come at you, a lot of times guys' accuracies will break down when they're not able to have, you know, their preferred drop. And with you, it almost doesn't matter what the drop is. The accuracy on the short stuff is maintained, and I think a lot of people at home don't realize how important accurate throws on screens and swings are to set up people for yards after the catch. Your accuracy doesn't waver. Where's that come from all arm angles, from all footwork, sometimes not even finished with the drop, fading back and just kind of, and the ball is still right where your receivers need it. How'd that come into your game?
Practice, repetitions, competition, all that type of stuff, man. I mean, we work really hard in practice. Quarterbacks, once again, behind me, push me really hard. And I mean, it's all about competition at the end of the day. If you don't like competition, football is not the sport for you. We used to have competition drills in practice, just locating the ball, getting the ball out quick, putting it on an upfield hand. So it's important. I mean, at the end of the day, if you get the ball to his upfield hand, I mean, he has a chance to take the ball for 60 yards. On the screen pass, remember, against Wake Forest, just keeping the ball out front of Trey and letting him beat Trey Benson. I feel like those are so important. Those 3-4 yards, even 2-3 yards are so important, man, when it comes down to third down and things like that. So I really want to put us in the best position.
What was it like, you know, every day in practice, you know, going against Nardo, going against Jerry, and going against Verse?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you got some super weapons on your side, too, with Keon and really the entire offense. But what was it like in practice where basically 85-90% of the dudes on that practice field were going to be in the NFL?
Yeah. Practice was way harder than the games. I mean, it made the games easy. Going against Jared Verse every single day, and I mean, I would have got sacked a couple times.
That's why you wear the red jersey.
Exactly. Yeah. We got Brandon Fisk. I mean, Fabian Lovett out here balling at this Shrine Bowl. So it was a blessing. Just going against those guys. I mean, having Keon and Johnny and Kentron and Ja'Kai go against Jerry and Renardo. So it's like, I mean, competition makes you better at the end of the day. And if you don't want it, I'm telling you, it's not the game for you. And Florida State is not the place for you because everything is about competition there. Every single thing we do is competition. The brotherhood was so special there. I think that's what sets us apart from a lot of other teams and a reason why we could have won a national championship this year, because the brotherhood we have when we play for one another and we love one another. And, I mean, it just made it special, man.
What was the process like, or the communication like, when it comes to setting protections? Like, how much was it sideline versus you versus your center? Like, how did that whole process come together communication wise?
It took a lot of work. 5-man protections was all on me. 6-man protections was Maurice can look back at me and ask me if I want to copy it, push it, things like that. But five-man protection was easier for me to see because obviously I know where my hots are at. Mm-hmm. Backs are getting out. The line doesn't really know where a slant's coming from or we have a fade to the opposite side. So it's little things like that. So, yeah, it was all on us. We had to take ownership in that. I mean, I had to protect myself at the end of the day or I was going to be out there getting hit and having to run around a little bit. So I work really hard with that in the film room with Coach Tokar. So it was great, man.
Stylistically, you know, a lot of quarterbacks kind of prefer different styles of offense. Joe Burrow's like, we'll be in five-man protections all day. Like, I'll throw hot if I need to throw hot. Yeah. You know, you look at other quarterbacks where it's like, give me the running back, give me six, even give me seven. Just give me the time so that we can run dagger 10 times a game and I have time to hit that dig. Where are you on that spectrum of like, do you want five out in the route? Are you cool with just give me protection? Yeah. I'll hit the throws if we only have three out there because I trust myself. Like, where are you?
I like everything. I don't think you gave me – if I have an opportunity to be on the football field and I have the ball in my hands and I'm able to make plays, I'm good, man. I love spreading it out. I do. But if we have to go seven-man protection and take a shot, I don't mind that either. Sir.
You can hit them both.
Yes, sir. Heck yeah, I can.
One of our favorite questions every year is we say you guys are the best scouts that we ever see because you've spent so much time in meeting rooms, practice rooms, chow halls, everything else with these guys. So who's going to be sitting in that chair next year from Florida State?
Yeah, I can name every single player on that team.
Well, if this year's team's any indication, it's just going to keep rolling.
There's a lot of them there.
I would say Maurice Smith. It's a center that has been there for a long time. Guy I grown up with, and it's like we've grown together like so much in these past five, six years. Just seeing him grow as a person, this is the most amazing thing. I mean, just seeing him develop and how he treats people and how he cares about his teammates is one of the most special things. And obviously on the field, it does its own talking. He's so smart in the film room, and he helps the quarterback out a lot. It made my job a lot easier when it comes to six man pro. And it was times in my career where it was not easy for me, and he used to help me out. Younger guy, put on a lot of weight, athletic. He'll be here next year for sure.
One last question. I'd love asking quarterbacks this question because you guys are essentially the CEO of the locker room. It's part of the gig, right? Sure. So going from a young quarterback into a veteran quarterback, you know, the leader in the room, a Heisman contender, leader of a national championship contender, over the course of your college career, and it can be a lesson from a veteran, a lesson from a coach, anybody, what's the best lesson on leadership that you really took to heart when you grew as a leader?
Just be yourself. I mean, you don't have to be someone else to lead. I'm not a big guy that goes out in front of the team and can give you a big hoorah speech to get you all pumped up, but I'm gonna work my tail off every single day, be early to everything, never get in trouble outside of football or even in football. I mean, I feel like it's the little things in football that mean the most, and you have to earn the respect of your teammates. I feel like that's the biggest thing, is earning the respect. Coach Arvell, the first thing he said to us at Florida State when he came in was, I'm not going to ask for your respect, I'm going to earn it. And I think that's stuck with me so much, and I've kind of implemented it into my everyday life. And I feel like it's so important to do that. So like, if I pull a guy to the side and I say something to him, I feel like it means a little bit more than a guy that's trying to be somebody different, call you out in front of everybody. I feel like that's where I've grown the most as a person, as a leader, for sure.
Well, we can't wait to see where you go. I have to imagine there's a lot of teams lined up to interview. It's going to be a busy week for you, so we're not going to take too much of your time, but we appreciate you stopping by, and I couldn't be more excited to see what you do in the league.
Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jordan.